When a candidate wins the presidency, there's no telling what challenges lie ahead. September 11th and the economic downturn have become a test of leadership for President Bush. Presidential historian Michael Beschloss says this administration marks the beginning of a new era.
The problem with this one is that, you know, we historians always try to set it in context, but in this case, it's almost like judging while we're on horseback at night with a lantern, you know, racing very quickly because it's changing so much. I mean, take a look at the war on terrorism. We have no idea what we're going to be discussing 3 or 4 months from now. There's the possibility of a war against Iraq or another country. That's very unlike most of the American experience. And the same thing is true in the economy.
It seems that in the past, presidents have been judged as either good foreign policy presidents or good domestic policy presidents. In this case, it seems President Bush has to focus equally and a lot on both.
That's right, and that is rare. For instance, Franklin Roosevelt, for the first 8 years of his presidency, that was mainly a domestic presidency. He had to haul the nation out of the Depression after a bad stock market crash in 1929. And then in the late 30s, and then especially after Pearl Harbor in 1941, he was almost exclusively an international president. That's usually the model. Now you've got a post-Cold War president, George W. Bush, who has to deal not only with the kind of domestic issues that presidents have dealt with for years, but also foreign policy issues that are not only pretty monumental, but as I say, unprecedented. So it's pretty hard for him to reach back in history and say, I should do it like this.
Now, the seeds for both of these challenges, the war on terrorism and the economic problems, did not happen during his administration. So how much control can he have over either one?
Not a lot. Presidents always try to take more credit than they deserve for good things. Bill Clinton, right or wrong, took a lot of credit for the economy of the 1990s, much of which he deserved. But the problem is that then when the economy goes south, a president who is on the job at that point is blamed. So that's something that someone like George W. Bush has to deal with. And he's done the same thing with the war on terrorism. He was perfectly glad to accept the deserved acclaim when the war was going very well this last winter. But it's inevitable that there are going to be problems and at least temporary defeats, and he will have to bear that blame, too.
His standing in public opinion polls has dropped since this recent economic scandal. Do you think that this will dog him like it dogged his father?
Right now, there's been a very tough couple of weeks for the country and hence for the president, and you'll see these numbers drop, but they are almost absolutely meaningless. George Bush the Elder had 90% in the spring of 1991. By the time he ran for election in November of 92, he was only able to get about 37% of the vote. So it's fun to watch these numbers go up and down, but they really don't have terribly much meaning, especially because in the economy and in the war on terror, these are two about as unpredictable stories as I've ever seen in American history. And as I say, I think one big test is, can we predict what kind of things we'll be talking about 6 months from now? I think that would be very tough.
Historian Michael Beschloss.